Who's that lady?
Anna!
She's persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions. And now, your host, Anna.
Hey everybody, this is Anna McCoy. Welcome to the show today. I am actually here in Jackson, Mississippi. So this is On the Road with Anna today. And I have the privilege and the honor to meet an incredible entrepreneur, mother, talented, creative, amazing woman that I want you all to meet for many, many reasons. And she's going to tell us a bit about herself. Her name is Tysha Stewart.
That's right.
Tysha, I'm so excited to meet you. And let me just say this. Walking into your event center, I was already blown away.
Thank you.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much. And so when I walked into your showroom and your event center, you're preparing for an amazing Sweet 16 party. And just looking around at the space, I love it when I have an opportunity to meet people who can really create dreams and visions. They can create opportunity through their ideas, their experiences. And I see that. You've got a lot of creatives around you.
Thank you. We do. I have tons of creatives around me.
So tell me about this journey for you. Tell me about yourself.
My name is Tysha Stewart, and I'm a full-time entrepreneur. Actually, I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Okay.
My mother passed away when I was 17 years old.
Wow.
She passed away from multiple sclerosis. And so I was kind of thrown out to the wolves, didn't really know which direction I wanted to go with my life, or didn't really have a pattern of, you know, adults setting examples for me. And I knew that I had to do something. I knew that I had to survive. And I've been an entrepreneur since I was 17 years old. I've been working for myself. And with God on my side, I've been able to continue a steadfast and growing pace.
Wow.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's really actually quite remarkable, the journeys and the twists and the turns we take in life. We don't always understand it, or we can't explain it, but it does create, something happens in
us. It does. It does. And what I've come to realize is, you know, I'm able to look back over things now that I looked at as hard times back then because I couldn't understand it or didn't understand it. But now I'm able to look back and I'm able to see, you know, that God was basically protecting me during those times, but he was also preparing me for where I am now. So, you know, I try to always encourage people when you're going through things, especially at a young age, you don't, you it's hard to kind of figure out, you know, why things are happening. And so, you know, I try to encourage people through my story to help them understand that even in what we consider hard times, typically there's a lesson to be learned.
Our stories and our journeys and our experiences, I believe they just make us better.
They do.
Everybody doesn't bounce back.
No, everybody does not bounce back. You know, and I was just talking with one of my friend girls last night, and I said, you know, I'm just so thankful that I've been able to maintain my mental stamina, you know, because there are a lot of people who have gone through things, you know, that I've gone through, or even more, or even, or some less, that just have not been able to, you know, find their way back, you know. And so that's why it's so important for me to always be transparent about everything I've been through. You know, some people always say, Tysha, you tell too much. But I don't look at it in that manner. I look at it, you know, as if my my purpose is to serve, and there's no way I can serve and help other people if they don't know what I've been through.
You know, it's interesting, even in reading your bio, and this is my first time having an opportunity to meet you. We've only been together now for probably 20 minutes. In each other's presence. But from reading your bio, walking into this place, listening to your conversation with Zira, our producer, what is amazing to me is I really sense this spirit of abundance about you.
Thank you.
Like the spirit of generosity. And I believe that even as we continue this conversation for those who are listening is, I think I just heard you say when you said, people say I tell too much. I think sometimes they're saying, I get that a lot too, is that you give away too much, right?
Yeah. Well, I think when they say that I tell too much, you know, most people are not comfortable about the dark side of where they've been. You know, most people want to have this polished persona, you know, and they want to, you know, come off as if everything is perfect, you know, and life is not perfect. You know, and as long as we're putting that in front of our younger generation, oh, everything is perfect. When times do, hard times do hit them, they have no idea how to come out of it. And so that's why, you know, it's just so important for me to try to be, you know, as authentic as I possibly can about, you know, even things that I sometimes cringe when I talk about. Hey, it happened. You know, so let's talk about it. And so I can show you how you can work your way out of it.
So you know? When you think about that, are there a couple of things that you like to share that you believe when you think about the challenges are things that we call hidden. I had a situation yesterday where I was training a group of people and I just blurted it out, you know, trying to hit a point about, you know, how I compartmentalize my brain and those types of things because I was blessed as a young girl. And it took me a long time to get to that place where I could actually speak it because I was always concerned about the other people in my
how
family
they would view and how you they were, if they would be heard or if they would, you know, feel that you're betraying them. So one of the, you know, big things, I say big things, you know, but one of the things that I considered, you know, a dark secret when I was 15 years old. First of all, my father was a Baptist minister. So I grew up in a very religious home. My mother was sick. She had multiple sclerosis. So I was kind of, you know, trying to figure out what in the world, God, why are you punishing my mama? You know what I'm saying? So in the course of doing that, I found this little knucklehead boy in high school, and I ended up getting pregnant at 15 years old. But what my father and my mother decided was, Tasha, you not finna flounce around here with a baby. We got a reputation we gotta uphold. So I was sent off to an adoption home, and I gave birth to my child there, and they took my child. So I couldn't come back home and say, hey, cousin, I just went and had a baby. My story, basically, I ended up going on Oprah show and I told my story about my son. And so what they helped me to see is that my family taught me how to lie. You know, they taught me how to hide things and how to be manipulative, you know, and how to lie. And so, so, you know, I came out of that and I was not able to tell anybody, you know, I'm walking around all these years with this dark secret. I got a child out here in the world. Is this him in this restaurant I'm going to? You know, is this him, one of the students I'm talking, you know? And so that was my coming out day. That was in 2015, I think it was. I went on national TV and I told the world. And my family, my brother, my sister, everybody heard it on that day.
And then your siblings didn't
Nobody knew. They thought that I was away doing something for school or something. And so, yeah, so, you know, that's one of the things, you know, I see, you know, kids coming up now and they're in the same situation I was in, looking for love, looking for attention, looking for answers, looking for reasons, looking, you know, and so they're getting in these tough situations with the teenage pregnancy and STDs and all of this stuff, you know, and it's mainly because they feel like they don't have anyone that they can confide in about the hurt that they feel. I couldn't go to my daddy and say, hey, daddy, you a preacher, but why is mama suffering? You know? So instead of me being able to verbalize those things, I just went in a different route to try to find, you know, something to soothe that inside of me, you know? So, yeah, but there are so many different, so many different areas, you know, so, of my life, things I've been through.
So when you were on the Oprah show, how many years, what was the span between the time that happened to you in the time that you actually unveiled?
So I gave birth to him in 1991. And I went on Oprah in 2015.
That's like 14 years or 20?
No, it was longer. I want to say 18, 19, 18. 20 years.
People, I cannot add, nor can I subtract.
Yeah, wow. So he was actually an adult.
by the time this happened. The one of the things I was thinking about when I'm hearing you in my heart is just like, you know, I'm not an expressive, emotional person, but my heart was just like, wow. And then the other part of me was saying, for those amounts of years, did you ever suffer from the imposter syndrome?
I didn't suffer from the imposter syndrome. I suffered from anxiety. And so what was happening is that all of my hurt and shame and anger was coming out in other ways. And so then it started to manifest, you know, into anxiety, into suicidal thoughts, into, you know, all of that, you know. And so it was just a storm of trying to figure out what in the world is going on with me. But at the same time, I'm suppressing all this other stuff. But it's trying to come out. It's like, you know, it's like God was saying, okay, you gonna let this out one way or the other, you know. And so once I, you know, started to talk about it, actually going on Oprah was my first opportunity of healing. You know, I felt so free. I felt so much lighter. The dark side to that is that, you know, a lot of my family members were upset with me, you know, but we've gotten past that.
I was getting ready to say, where are they now?
Yeah, they're here. The most important thing is that from the course of that show, I was able to find my son.
Okay.
So we reconnected maybe a year after the show aired. We ended up reconnecting. And he didn't have a clue that he was adopted. His family lied to him.
Look at this. I mean, when you look at the journey of people's lives. It's just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. But you know, there's such a stigma attached to adoption and stigma attached to, you know, teenage pregnancies. And, you know, what we have got to do is find a way to, you know, not encourage others in their wrong, but to let them know that none of us are perfect. And to let them know that we are here, you know, to support and help them no matter what they're going through.
Well, so when you think about that, how do you see the world changing that viewpoint? You know, it's something about these young people today, they are having different kinds of conversations.
Totally different. The millennials, now they're totally different. And what I've been trying to figure out is actually how do you even connect with them? And it's just hard to make a connection with them, but the one thing with the millennials is they want to be able to actually put their hand on it in order to believe it. They have to see it to believe it. And so that's where the transparency and the authenticity, you know,
is coming.
And I have a lot of them that work for me and they'll say, Miss Tasha, you know, they'll tell me different things and they'll say, I don't see how you made it through that, you know. And so just, you know, just being able to be transparent with them and just being able to be authentic with them helps them a lot, you know.
So then when you think about transitioning into where you have, where you are now, you can't fill in all the gaps, but I want our audience to know you're listening to Anna McCoy on Anna McCoy Live on this show with Tysha Stewart.
Tysha Stewart.
But what I want them to understand, I want them to know who you are now and some of the things that you do. And one of the things I loved about reading your story and your backstory is that you have this whole passion about other people, other individuals becoming and doing and creating and living this entrepreneurial life.
I do.
This is what I want to hear about.
I do. So it's very important to me, as we just spoke about, you know, my past, for people to be able to understand that no matter where you came from, or what you've done in your past or anything that you've experienced, that you're able to still be successful. You're still able to have a great relationship with God. You're still able to find peace. You're still able to help and encourage other people. And that's where I am now, you know. I try to live my life in a sense to where, you know, a lot of us can talk it, but a lot of us are not walking it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing, you know, to say, oh, Tasha's inspirational, but it's another thing for you to sit down and have a conversation with me and pick up on an inspirational vibe from me, you know. So, you know, it's just very important for me. And also with entrepreneurship, I've never worked for anyone else. I've always worked for myself.
What? Now, first of all, can I say congratulations?
Thank you.
That is not easy.
It's not easy. And when you say congratulations, I'm sitting here like, girl, you just don't know everything.
I do know, because it's hard.
Yeah. And you know, right now being an entrepreneur is kind of like the go-to thing.
Yes.
You know, everyone wants to be an entrepreneur, you know, but they don't realize, you know, how many sleepless nights you have, how many empty bank accounts you have, how many days you got to figure out what am I going to eat, how many days you wondering, oh, are they going to be able to look at me and tell I really ain't got it all together. I'm just trying to figure
it
out.
That's what I call the imposter syndrome, is that how we show up in the world as if we got it all together and all the parts are playing and in rhythm, and they're not.
So the thing as far as the imposter syndrome with me, I never intentionally set out to portray that, but I've always been portrayed as, oh, she has it all together.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important for me to be transparent and to be authentic, so that people are able to see the things that we do go through, you know, with entrepreneurship, with motherhood, with life in general.
So how old are your children now?
My daughter is 21 years old, and my son is 19 years old.
Okay, what about the son that was adopted?
He's 23 years old.
Oh, wow, they're very close, right?
They're very close.
I don't mean to go back to that story we were talking about, but now that you brought that back, and then I'm going to jump back to this entrepreneur piece. But this is the part of our lives that I am always thinking about how I'm impacting other people. And I think most people, and certainly parents, we have children. I don't have any natural children, but I'm a mother to many.
Right.
And what I've seen with my brothers and sisters and people that are close that have allowed me to what I call raise their children, different things, there's this sense of kind of ownership. And with that sense, we tend to make decisions for our children and our family members that we have no foresight on. So even though you were young at 16, that environment and that culture said, no, you can't embarrass me. No, this is going to, it's going to impact a lot of other things.
Right.
And here it is 2 years later and 2 years later. People can't foresee what your future is.
And you know, that's why it's so important that, you know, when you come across, I know you say you don't have natural children, but all of us are each other's child. You know, it is each of our responsibility to help each other along. So even though, you know, you may not have what you're calling natural children.
Yeah,
in the spiritual realm, we're all holding each other's hand.
Exactly.
So, you know, back to your point, that's why it's so important when you find, you know, someone, or even with yourself, when you're going through things, you have to be able to nourish and help yourself along the way to get to the, you can't stay stuck where you are, because you just don't know what's down the road for you. You know, you can be laying here one day and not knowing how you gonna eat, and the next day you can be on Oprah show.
That's right. One
testimony.
Phone,
you
one,
know.
Yes.
One call. That's
away.
All. You can never get stuck in that dark place. You know, you got to. You know, I tell people all the time, when you feel anxiety or depression coming on, get up and move.
Yes.
You know, don't sit there. Get up and do something. You know.
I tell people too is that, you know what? When you feel at your worst, I mean, drag yourself up by the shoes, by your shoelaces, and go
and
serve.
Do something.
Go do something for someone else.
Yes, it makes you feel totally better, you know. And what that helped me to realize is, you know, when you walking in the purpose of serving other people. Mm-hmm. You know that good feeling that you get?
Oh, yeah.
You know, most people go, well, not most people, but some people go out and drink alcohol for that mm-hmm. feeling. Mm-hmm. Some people go out and, you know, use drugs for that feeling. Yes. Some people have frequent sex for that mm-hmm. feeling. Mm-hmm. That feeling is supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to have that mm-hmm. good feeling. Mm-hmm. But God gave us that feeling in the purpose of serving. Mm. It's the same feeling. It's the same rewarding and gratification. It's the same feeling, you know. It's just that, you know, so many people get lost in trying to find, mm-hmm. you know, their way to that good feeling.
Wow.
You know, so.
That's beautiful. Now, I want to comment on something that I noticed when I came into mm-hmm. your office, which I absolutely love. I'm ready to go home and make my own sign. And it says, my goal is to create a life. Mm-hmm. I don't need a vacation.
Absolutely.
From. So mm-hmm. tell me how you've done that.
So I have basically created a life that I don't need a vacation from mm-hmm. because I am now in mental peace.
Ooh.
So even on my busiest days, like today, yeah. I've had 3 events today.
Yes.
But I am in control of what I do, how I do, when I do it, the manner in which I do it, the energy that I give to it.
Yes.
You know, it's not so much for me about the financial freedom. Mm-hmm. It's more so about the mental freedom, mm-hmm. you know. And I think, you know, when people are able to see, you know, that you're able to move in a manner, no matter what's going on, if I'm dealing with a bridezilla or if I'm dealing with a horrible corporate client,
yes.
I'm still able to bring a sense of calmness, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, every day to me is a vacation day, mm-hmm. if you ask me, mm-hmm. because I'm able to do what I love to do. I'm able to create. I'm able to put a smile on my client's face mm-hmm. when they walk in and mm-hmm. see, oh, this room is beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, and that energy helps keep me up. So every day is a vacation day to
That's
me.
That's beautiful. And my takeaway from this, from reading this sign to your explanation, mm-hmm. is when I do go on vacation, I often say I need to vacate. I need mm-hmm. to go, you know, mm-hmm. because I'm going for this mental mm-hmm. break.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
you're causing me to reconsider mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. maybe some of the things that I believe.
Mm-hmm.
are the things that I believe I'm passionate about, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. if they're draining me, mm-hmm. then we need to eliminate those.
Well,
things.
I think what we need to do in order to get to that place is remove the end goal. Remove the end goal.
That is so good.
And just walk in your purpose and what you enjoy doing. The mm-hmm. end goal is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all are put here to serve.
Yes.
The thing is to figure out what capacity are you here to serve in. And once you figure that out, everything else is just like cakewalk. Mm-hmm. And so I try to encourage people to, you know, people always say, well, how do you find your purpose? What do you mm-hmm. mean, find
right.
your purpose? What do you,
right.
and I say, well, what do you do if you weren't making any money? What could you do and you would be happy doing
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would you enjoy doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and typically when they're able to answer that question, mm-hmm. they're able to figure out which area they should be in mm-hmm. and serving, mm-hmm. you know. So
talk to me a bit about the business of mm-hmm. what you do so that those who are listening, we've been talking about your story now. Let's
mm-hmm.
talk about kind of the mission. And I know you're as it relates to events and different things, but
mm-hmm.
we all know that you're not in the event business
mm-hmm.
of hosting things. You're
mm-hmm.
in the business of making people feel
mm-hmm.
loved,
mm-hmm.
beautiful,
mm-hmm.
have some kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But talk about the kind of work you do,
mm-hmm.
who you've done it for,
mm-hmm.
and where you've done it. So
okay.
if they're listening and they need someone
mm-hmm.
with your expertise, with the energy that you bring, with your creativity,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
they know what they can ask for.
So basically, I am a full-time event designer.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been creative, even as a little girl. You know, my cousins would come to me and say, Tysha, put me an outfit together.
Mm-hmm.
Or Tysha, help me decorate my room. You know, and even back then, that's why I say you just never know what your future holds, you know. How I got into this business is because one of my friends was getting married in Gulfport, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, their event designer ended up getting sick and they needed someone to just come in and fill in. And it was a huge wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So her dad was like, well, Tysha, do you think you can help us? And I was like, yeah, you know, I don't mind helping.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I ended up doing the whole wedding and that wedding went viral. And so from that day forward, I have been doing events.
Viral where?
In the city, in the state.
Oh, yep. Before the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So everybody started calling me. Hey, can you help me with my wedding? Hey, can you help me with my party? Wow. And I was like, what do you mean? Can I help you? And I'm like, oh, you mean I can make money from this? You sure. know, I've been doing this my whole life and I can make money from this, you know? So then I started, you know, doing events. I started designing events, and that's basically what I do now. I travel the world and design events. I've worked with tons of celebrities. I've done tons of corporation parties. I do Def Jam Records corporate Christmas party every year.
So they can really help them see how what these things look like.
So just to try to give you an audio visual, basically what I do, I come in and I transform your space. I transform your room.
I keep hearing you say this word designer. I think that's a little different than planner.
Yes, it is. So a designer, basically, you come to me and you say, Tyshia, this is the look I want for my event or for my party. And basically, your designer designs and creates the whole aspect of the event. So I've been to large open arenas that I've had to turn into weddings. I've turned barns into weddings. I've, you know, if you can dream it, I can achieve it. I have really been blessed with a creative mind, and I have really been blessed with an awesome team of employees. And sometimes it takes us 2 to 3 days on an event, depending on how large the event is. But at the end of the day, it brings me gratification, because to be able to see my clients happy, and most events that I do, they're happy events, they're weddings, they're parties, they're, you know, they're already feel good, you know, type events. So I'm able to add that added extra element, you know, on, to their event.
So which event comes to mind that for you would be your, that you would feel would be your, like a great, like you, like there's some things that I do that I was like, ooh. Girl,
you did that.
Zira and I, when we produced one of the first shows, we were just doing the face, the, kind of the Facebook, do the selfie hold the camera, and then got some cameras and different things, and then we put this entire studio together as iPhone producers, using the top of the line iPhone, the very top one, right? That does some amazing, it has great technology, it has this great. What is it for low lighting? And so we get some really good stuff, and then we got lights, camera, action. The day we did our really our first in studio, got another place to do it in, all of that, we was like high fiving, popping champagne bottles. We were like, man, we did that, you know. And so even though that's probably not our pinnacle, it is a great celebration for us,
right?
Because it's in a new space that we both had a heart for, that we felt like we were called for, and we met along the way, and we were able to bring it to life. So when you think about one of the events, or maybe a couple, that really makes your heart flutter.
Well, one of the actually it wasn't so much as the look of the event. It was more so the purpose and the feel of the event. There was a new manufacturing plant that opened right outside of Memphis in South Haven, Mississippi, and they contacted me to handle their grand opening. And just to know, you know, that they were bringing in so many people and giving jobs, and it was just very rewarding for me. It was in that moment that I was able to sit and I was able to say, wow, Tyshia, look what they're calling you to do. You know, these are people, these are corporations with billions and billions of dollars, and they're calling this little 15-year-old girl who went to off to this adoption home and gave her baby away and was the black sheep of the family, and now you're standing here introducing the governor. So that was really an aha moment for me, because I never imagined, you know, that these people would be calling me for my services, you know. But there have been so, you know, there have been so many events that I've done that I've walked away and just felt proud to be able to say, you know, not so much as, oh, I made this place beautiful, but I made you feel beautiful.
Right, you know. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
It's quite powerful.
Yeah.
Wow, this has just been amazing.
Thank you. Actually,
you know, you're the kind of person that needs probably 2 or 3 shows.
Okay.
Because we still haven't gotten to a really important part, and mm-hmm. that's really hearing from you mm-hmm. from the space of teaching, like of sharing your, mm-hmm. your knowledge base.
Mm-hmm.
But before that happens, I might have to come back to do that.
But okay.
One of the things that I want to ask you about, mm-hmm. I want you to think about a person, perhaps someone that came to you mm-hmm. for help mm-hmm. or they came to you for advice
mm-hmm.
and you gave that advice and maybe time passed and they came back to tell you what you did for them.
What I try to do, I always try to hire what I call the underdogs. I always try to hire people that are the black sheeps or mm-hmm. don't have any direction
mm-hmm.
or I don't typically hire people who look like us, who, you know, may possibly have it all together
mm-hmm.
or have family support or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I typically hire people who just don't have any idea and no one to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I can remember 2 or 3 employees that I've had to let go because they just were not meeting the standard of what I needed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I had to explain to them, you know, I've taken a chance on you, and whether you're working for me or no matter who you work for,
mm-hmm.
my purpose in your life is to help you become a better person and
mm-hmm.
become, you know, possibly an entrepreneur yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not able to, you know, meet the standard of what I'm needing, I'm going to have to let you go.
Right.
And it's been 2 or 3 I know that have come back to me, you know, and they've said, you know, Tasha, I just want to thank you because had you not set that standard for me, I would not be where I am, you know. And even I know one for sure that's gone on and opened their own business,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so it just really feels good when you're able to, you know, live your life with,
mm-hmm.
you know, transparency
mm-hmm.
and authenticity
mm-hmm.
and you're able to plant those seeds into other people through your transparency and they're able to go on with their life with what you've planted in them
mm.
just to see that grow, you know, to
wow.
see the growth in them and to see, you know, what you planted in another human being.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, you know,
pretty incredible.
It's mind blowing,
yes.
you know,
yes.
and again, it goes back to the point of, you know, don't need a vacation, you know,
mm-hmm.
because As long as, you know, I'm planting seeds in other people, God takes care of me. You know, I have things that just fall in my lap,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people often say, well, Tasha, how did you get this job? I just recently mm-hmm. did LaToya Luckett's wedding, you know.
Yes, I saw the whole kind of spread
mm-hmm,
of that.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty amazing.
I was just featured in Essence magazine.
Yes.
Like, I've done some amazing, you know,
yeah.
I did Oprah Winfrey's producer's wedding.
I've
done some really amazing. I've done Oscar parties for
sure.
the Oscars,
sure.
you know, and people, you know, always come to me and they say, well, how did you get this client?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you do this? Well, how did you get that door open for you? And I'm never able to explain it because I don't go into it with that mission.
Mm-hmm.
I just try to live my life planting seeds in other people
mm-hmm.
and being as authentic as I can. And people who are also walking in that light are
mm-hmm.
tend to attract to me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I love what I do. I enjoy what I do. I love the entrepreneur journey, even
mm-hmm.
though, you know, every day is not a sunny day.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it feels good inside.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been listening to Anna McCoy and Tasha Stewart on Anna Live Radio, this podcast. We are excited and thank you so much.
You're welcome. I am inspired.
And this show is really all about inspiring
mm-hmm.
and educating and enriching the entrepreneurial
mm-hmm.
journey.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing the stories from people just like you,
mm-hmm.
I am honored that we are here with you
today. I am honored to be here. I'm honored to be here. Thank
yes.
you for asking me.
It is my pleasure. And I hope to have you again and again and again.
Yes, we have more to talk about.
Because we have to continue to educate
mm-hmm.
and to share.
Yes.
We're from the same tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you so much.
And it's so important to find your tribe and
oh,
to
absolutely.
Stick with them. It's so important.
Wow.
It's so
important.
So you
heard that right
yep.
here on Anna Live Podcast. I'm here with my guest, Tasha Stewart. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening.
Thank
and
you.
If you want to find out more about how to reach her, you can go to annamccoy.com, mm-hmm. and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.